Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to talk again today about some of the key themes that both the church presents us in the readings this week, but also just things that have been on my heart to help strengthen us in this time of trial and challenge in the life of the church. It's a moment of great opportunity for all of us because it's such a challenging time. It's such a difficult time. It's a confusing time. And what that does is it causes us to make a decision, hopefully to make a decision, to either press into the Lord more deeply and to look for His guidance and for His help and discern, be able to discern the times and to order our lives in the way He wants us to. He's seeking to get everyone's attention. That's why He's permitting these things to happen within society and the culture. I think I've mentioned a few times on the program over the last number of months as we've made our way through this battle with COVID and the results of the things that have come from it. And it's helpful to go back to, I think, some of the elements in it that I think are the Lord's discipline and the exercise of God's merciful judgment on the world. And that is, the Lord brings His judgment, as we've said many times, to wake us up, to shake us. He allows the nations to be shaken because He wants to get our attention, because the real big stuff is not before our eyes. The real big stuff is how we're relating to Him, how our lives are lined up with Him, the reality that we live in a fallen world that's hostile to Him, and how easy it is to become attached to it and to live in it and forget God, to be lazy toward God, to be slothful, to lose love that's in our hearts, or maybe not even ever having experienced it or chosen for it. We end up living a worldly life and a life of lukewarmness, which isn't pleasing to the Lord. So clearly some of that's going on. One of the things I felt because, again, as I mentioned a number of times in the program over the last few years, is in 2016, when I was in Uganda at a priest conference, I felt the Lord, He showed me something after communion, when in the context of Mass, I was sitting in my seat, and I felt like the Lord said to me I needed to pay attention to Him more closely, and I was there, and like He said, take up your journal, and I grabbed my journal, which I always had with me in my bag, and my bag was right next to me in the chair, and so I grabbed a pen, and it was the moment I just was feeling so close to the Lord in the Eucharist and just felt so like a child of God, simple, the weight of things had just been lifted off me. I felt in the previous 24 hours of battling a lot of different things, and I just was at peace, and I felt like the Lord said to me, as I began to take up my pen, I felt the fear of the Lord come upon me. A little bit like what described at the end of yesterday's program when, quoting Father Lagrange, who talked about at different times, the Holy Spirit will come and He'll give people an experience of the presence of God, the majesty of God, the seriousness of who God is, or little glimpse or taste of the holiness of God, or something that really fills us full of the fear of the Lord. And that's what I felt in that moment. And in that moment, I sensed the Lord saying to me, and I wrote it down in my journal. And if you've heard me say this a few times in the program, I'm sorry to repeat it, but I just feel like I should bring it up again and just put the context of what, put it in context of what we're experiencing today. I felt like the Lord said He was coming and His discipline, He was going to bring His redemptive discipline on His church, that His church was enslaved to strongholds, spiritual strongholds in parts of the body that were limiting the church to be able to live in its purity, its fullness, and in its mission. And that for the sake of the salvation of the world, Jesus was coming to purify His church. An act of love and mercy, but it was going to be painful. A continuation of what we've already experienced over the last more than almost two decades now, but something even deeper, like getting to the core of it. I'm not sure it's been fully revealed yet, but I do think the Lord is working to get the attention of the church and to give the leaders greater strength and clarity and discernment about how to cooperate with Jesus to get free. And that was kind of the first thing. And then I felt like He said, from the discipline of my church, I discipline those whom I love. He said, my judgments are going to come on the earth. And that he said, you're going to see chaos, apostasy, rage, and confusion in the society. That we're going to see all those things. I kind of look back now and say, that was 2016. I look back and I say, boy, we certainly are seeing these things right now in a major way in the world. And it's the whole world is being shaken and disrupted. And I sense the Lord say, I'm doing it because I want to expose the idols that are enslaving the world, but also to empty them, to empty the idols that is the things that people are, that we put on too high a pedestal, we put too much value and we actually end up living for and putting our full trust in different ways. And that enslaves us. And it's also offensive to God. It's a form of idolatry, right? And so, but I also sense the Lord saying he was going to do it to show the church and members of the church who are meant to be salt and light in the world, to be radically set apart in the world, but not of the world, how empty these idols are. Because when we, the baptized, start living like the world and become worldly, the way, you know, the book of Revelation, the Old Testament, when we do that, is that we're committing idolatry. It's like a form of spiritual adultery or something. We're giving our hearts to something else first. And that's part of the battle that the enemy tries to seduce us into in the world. And so the Lord comes to expose that and to purify it and to help us see how foolish it is. And so there are a few other things I felt like the Lord said that I wrote down in the journal at the time. One was, I sensed him very seriously saying to me, he said, I'm the captain of the armies of heaven, not me, the Lord, is the captain of the armies of heaven, and he sees the whole battlefield. And everything is in his hands. The ultimate victory has been won, but there's spiritual conflicts that still go on in the earth, and he sees them, and he's coming to deal with them in different ways. I felt like he was saying to me, I need to stay in my own lane. I need to stay focused on what he's called me to do. And I need to draw near to him to make sure I repent, you know, that I really align my life under his leadership and to help others do the same. And for us all to do that thing and those things for which we're called to do, to fully radically live out our vocations and the particular callings that he may have given to us. And so, I mean, that's been with me and stirred me. And I think now about what we've come through. When I think about God's judgments, I think about his discipline and helping the church see the emptiness of the idols that are present. And I was just thinking how the first thing we experienced, really leading up to 2020 over the last couple of years in the Me Too movement and a whole set of things that emerged in the broader culture, we saw, you know, major figures in the culture, major leaders, their sin and their corruption get exposed. The Lord is exposing it not because he hates people. He does it because he loves people. He's trying to win people constantly. But what we do, we get trapped in sin and we silence our consciences. We can't hear his voice. And we fall asleep spiritually and we run after other things, power, influence, you know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these kinds of things that the scripture talks about. And then he has to allow us to see it in order to repent. And not everybody repents, but the Lord is willing to take people and let them experience the consequences of their decisions. So right before our eyes, people who look like they had it all together, big, powerful people, big money, big everything, boom, it just collapses and they're in jail. And then the beginning of 2020 comes and the COVID virus starts spreading and humanity and the whole world gets shut down. The whole world gets shut down because, and that doesn't happen without the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords permitting it to happen. I'm not saying the Lord is the source of the coronavirus, but he's permitting it to happen. And if he permits it to happen, it's ultimately for our good because he has the eternal consequences, the eternal realities in mind. And here we are, the whole world gets brought to a screeching halt. And what's happening, what brings us there, is a battle against death itself in the minds of so many that we, especially at the beginning, a sense of this virus that, and the projections of what was going to happen globally and what we were up against caused tremendous fear in people. And on a natural level, that's absolutely understandable. But on a spiritual level, what the Lord wanted us to be able to see was that we needed to, as his disciples, not come under the fear of death, which, you know, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says that It's the strategy of the devil to enslave the human race through the fear of death, worrying about it constantly, worrying about my health, worrying about my comfort, worrying about how long I'm going to live, worrying about loss and being diminished in any way, shape, or form. These kinds of things are all expressions of the ultimate fear of being ultimately diminished in dying and death. And death casts a shadow over us. And like Our Lady, or was it Zechariah and Luke saying, you know, the dawn from on high has broken upon us in the incarnation to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that light is supposed to be in us. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to, you know, fully embrace it. But scripture says, think often about your death that you might gain wisdom. Death is the thing we all share, and we know it's in our future. And we know as believers in Christ, if we're living in him and we're drawing life from him and we have faith, hope, and love alive in our hearts, we know then we're living in a victory over this great enemy, this enemy death. But if we're just Catholics or Christians in name and we're not really animated by a faith that's dynamic and real and it's confident that we know life is short and it doesn't scare us, and that we're already living in a foretaste with Christ in the Spirit and the church and the sacraments and the preaching and mission of the church, we're living a foretaste of the kingdom, and that's what's in our future. We don't ultimately have to be afraid of it and live in a panic and live like slaves to it. So this battle against death is there, and it's still there. It's still happening in different places in the world. And you see how the kind of madness that can come from the whole thing. And then here in the United States and in many places around the world, economies are getting hit. And we just came out of 2019, one of the biggest, baddest economies in the history of the world here in the United States. And in a nanosecond, in the big picture, it happened very quickly. 44 million people were unemployed. And the country, we just had to start printing money. We're still talking and fighting over whether to print more money or not. And there's a lot of complex things around that. But it's another idol. We put our faith in money. With money, all things are possible. It secures my comfort. It secures my influence. It secures my power over life, whatever. It secures all that stuff. And so we think about it a lot. We worry about it a lot. And even though Jesus said, don't worry about what you're supposed to eat, drink, and wear, don't be anxious. I will help you. The Father loves you and knows you. If that's not a living reality, we can't live without that kind of anxiety. If we're not trusting in the Father, in the Spirit, and abiding in the Lord in that way, then of course the thing happened in Minneapolis, that the death of Mr. Floyd and how George Floyd and a bomb that had set off and that's still reverberating around the country, and here this country, America, for all its strengths and weaknesses, viewed by the vast majority of people in the world as the most powerful country in the world, and really one of the most sustained, successful political experiments in history, that's shaking like crazy. And now that pillar to lean on or just embrace and putting all our hearts there, everything is shakable. That's what the Lord is showing us. There's nothing in this world that's not shakable. The only thing unshakable is God. It's the one we're made for. And the only place of security is to be secure in God. And he said, but we won't experience that security if our hearts are somewhere else. If our minds and our energy and our time, our talent, and treasure is somewhere else, and he's not on the throne, like Peter said, enthrone Jesus Christ, that is St. Peter, enthrone Jesus Christ in our hearts. That's what he wants us to do. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.